We're in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. Well, the Atlanta Falcons have control of the NFC South. They are perfect 4-0 against their division rivals, and they just beat the Buccaneers. If you didn't know, 31-26 yesterday, with Kirk Cousins having a monster game, 276 yards and 4 touchdowns. That the Falcons roll on.
Yeah, awesome game from top to bottom yesterday. Like we've mentioned a number of times. The defense at times in the first quarter, the run defense was a little bit shaky. Baker Mayfield kind of playing off of that, surgical with the way he was in the passing game. But there was just a number of plays, man. There was ups and downs, as there is in every NFL game, specifically division games, specifically road games. And yet there were times that we mentioned earlier, the four-minute drive, you put your foot down. How about one of the things we haven't talked about yet? How about the tackle from Kadarius Hodge on the fake punt? I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Yeah, I noticed it right in front of me.
Dude, that was awesome. Like, they like, you know, you see those fake punts in the fourth quarter, and so many times that they'll work out for the team, just snap it right to the up bag, get around the left. Like, Kadarius Hodge was having no part of it, man. He sniffed that thing out from the word go.
It's his first tackle for a loss as an NFL player.
Boom.
I mean,
boom.
He did, because, you know, he's the gunner. He's over there, and I say he's not their gunner, but he's over there lined up on the gunner, right? So that's his. He's over there, and that just phenomenal, unbelievable. The fact that he got in there and diagnosed it and knifed through to make the tackle.
Yeah,
that's twice that Kadarius Hodge against Tampa Bay has made game altering plays.
Yeah, and that's why you see his teammates love him, right? Gotta love it.
Wasn't he someone that Kirk Cousins wanted here?
No, Kadarius was already here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm thinking of Darnell.
Yeah, that was who by the way.
Hi, Darnell.
Thank you for setting me up. You know what Darnell Mooney has done in two games against Tampa Bay?
No, tell me.
14 catches, 197 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
You, man.
Is that good?
Free agents, yes, hats off to our offensive and defensive captains, but Darnell Mooney is I'm telling you, he's one of my favorite players on the team to watch, because he's just so different, man. He's so different than anything we've had. What was the one stat category, guys, that I yelled for all offseason? He is the guy that brings that. Beating teams over the top and getting the yak, the yards after the catch, man. He is that dude with his athleticism and his speed.
My math is I don't have exact numbers.
Okay.
But looking at going into the game, you now have two receivers, your one and your two receiver, with over 500 yards receiving through 8 games. And Kyle Pitts is a little over 400. You have guys, two of which are on track for 1,000-yard years in receivers. And you have another one, and, you know, Bijan he's a little under 300. Bijan had another 100-yard all-purpose day. And every time he touched the ball yesterday, he got almost 5.5 yards a touch.
I got to give you credit for something. I know we're going to hear from Kirk Cousins, but I asked you and Rob on Friday. I think 27.5 was Kirk's over-under this year for touchdown passes. He was at 10 before this weekend. I think you didn't say 4. You said 3, but still, I was like, oh, wow, yeah, you're really feeling like a good day from him through the air.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, told you, Kirko was going to eat. No cap.
Why'd you have to do that? Why?
Because it goes with Kirk Cousins.
Walk into your trap, take over your trap.
Boom!
Well, Kirk Cousins, as he always does, caught up with Dave Archer, analyst for the Falcons Radio Network. This interview is brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta.
Kirk, I don't know what it is about these two teams, but it's been fun, these two games. I don't know, is it fun on your part to be any part of these things?
Well, it's certainly stressful, but it's fun to move the football. It's fun to score points. It's fun to make big plays and see teammates make big plays. And our defense stepped up again and again. Special teams made plays. So another great team win, and we can build on it.
Tell me about protection today, because that seemed to be the operative word. They thought they did a really good job of keeping you clean for the most part. The one play that sticks out in my mind was down close in the red zone close, and you swiveled all the way back and fouled Bijan in the left flat.
Yeah, I think getting through progressions, you can't do it if you don't have protection. The touchdown to Kyle to start the game was my third option or more in the progression, and The same with the touchdown to Bijan. I mean, he's the fifth guy. And so to get through the progression, it says a lot about our offensive line.
It's fun to see a quarterback in the zone, and you've been in the zone against a number of teams. But, again, it seemed like you fell into a very comfort zone for yourself. Walk me through the throw to Mooney for the touchdown.
Yeah, great route by Mooney. We had talked during the week of the different angles that throw could be, depending on how they defend it. And he ran right where I wanted him to. Again, the pocket enabled me to kind of see it as I wanted to see it, and then I just put it to the spot I wanted to put it in. He went and ran and made the play. But the separation he creates at the top of the route, great job.
Looked like you did a little something with Antoine Winfield there, too, and he's an excellent safety. You know, you get great respect for him. No, looks no. like you froze him in the middle.
Yeah, he was, you know, the formation, he kind of had reason to push the other way, and I just wanted to make sure that he was going to do that. But I think he's playing the rules of his coverage correctly, and ultimately Mooney made a really nice play.
How difficult is it to be patient and drop the ball off? I guess it's easy when you got guys like Bijan Robinson you're dropping the ball.
Yeah, very. You know, there was a time in the 2 minute at the end of the half where I check it down to him, and he's matched. It's really a dead play. But I throw it to him because my thought is, first of all, I don't want to take a sack. But second of all, like, he may make something happen. And he did. And he got us 10 yards up the sideline. So I'm going to keep giving it to him, even in tough looks. And he tends to prove me right.
When there's 6:52 left on the clock, I don't necessarily think you're looking at the clock. But you guys bled it all the way down to a minute. Walk us through kind of bleeding the clock, but yet still having to get first down.
Yeah, it certainly, the main focus is like breaking the huddle. You know, let's try to bleed some clock between plays. But once you snap the ball, you got to play football and get what you can. And ran the football well, you know, had a few passes mixed in there. And Charlie got the drive started with a great flat, catching the flat and then turned up field. So that was a big drive.
All right, last thing for you. What does it mean to you about this team responding? Last week, not the effort you guys were looking for. Tell me, or not the effort, but not necessarily the results you were looking for.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough coming back from last week. And we kind of, you know, messaged the team this week was, hey, guys, we got to respond. We got to pick ourselves back up off the mat. And, you know, it's a good football team, Tampa. I think they're a playoff caliber team. And it was a great response. And now we kind of build from here.
Thanks, Kirk. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
that.
Arch.
Yeah, playoff caliber team. They knocked off their division rival. And again, 4-0 in the NFC South. So they control it right now.
It's a team you split with last year. You went down there last year and won, and they came up here and ran the ball down your throats in your own home in a game that you needed, and they beat you. And
they were not a good running team.
No, not last year. They are this year.
Or one of the year before.
This year they are absolutely one of the.
Yes.
This year they're probably the most balanced offense in football. That is why I kept telling everyone, and I kept hearing people say, oh, they don't have Evans and Godwin. It's an easy win. I'm like, guys, they are good up front at running the ball. They have good running back. Bucky Irvin is a badass. Just going to go ahead and say it. I don't like saying that about guys that play on other teams. I can say it again about Mike Evans and Baker and Godwin, Kate Otten. Now they got
so
another one in Bucky Irvin.
You are saying it about guys.
Yeah, because those are, yeah, because I got respect for him. I just don't like saying
Bucky's,
it.
Bucky's he's a lot like Bijan, to be honest with you.
He's
the
physical,
way he plays,
man.
The game. Yep, I agree.
Holy, how about, hey, can we talk? Can we talk about that that touchdown from Bijan?
Yeah. What about it?
He's getting to the end zone.
Yeah, I was frustrated
with it. I think it was Izian. It might have been Izian. I can't remember who it was. And he's like, full speed. And Bijan's like, oh, I can either collide with you or let you walk by me. And then I'm going to just step out.
I didn't like it, dude.
Here's the problem. You didn't like it because you treated it like the Kyle Pitts play. No, it was different. Because Bijan never put the ball in risk. Never.
He stopped. Dead stop before the ball crossed the plane.
Yes. But
just get the ball in the end zone.
The ball was secured.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'll let you go by. No problem.
I just think
that,
given what happened with Kyle Pitts earlier today, I would have just preferred that Bijan got the ball across the plane.
Had he put the ball.
I get it. It was like a cool look, and it was an interesting little play. But, dude, I don't need the whole stop thing, let the guy go by and kind of look like a poster thing. I just get the freaking ball in the end zone. It's football.
Ball security is what matters to me.
Make contact, man.
Speaking of that, can we talk about the secondary real quick, Tiff?
It's like you read my mind, but take it away.
Jesse Bates gets tested on a flea flicker.
Plays it underneath.
Punches the ball out. Jesse was our Solomon Brothers play of the game, by the way.
Ding.
But the play that really I really enjoyed seeing was AJ's. Because he has gotten a knack in this city as a guy that doesn't know how to ball hawk, that he can't make plays. And I think, I mean, obviously it's easy to say he had one of his better games without Godwin or Evans on the field, but he played really, you didn't hear anything from his side of the field. In fact, they tested Mike Hughes all day long. They I don't even know if they hardly went at AJ, and they really didn't go. It really wasn't necessarily his issue when he makes the interception, but that was a heck of a play.
Yeah, it was. You love seeing, first of all, Jesse Bates coming underneath the flea flicker, like you said, man. He's going back. He's catching the ball like he's Larry Fitzgerald. Falling onto his back, just unbelievable for him to come down with that ball. Honestly, the catch, it reminded me of the play a few weeks back when Darnell Mooney caught the ball that Kirk was like, I didn't know if I should have thrown it. It was probably a bad throw. Like, falling back on your back, making a crazy circus.
Climbing the ladder.
But to your point, A.J. Terrell, obviously laying out for that one, man. And look, he does have a bad rap, it seems like. I don't know if we value him enough as a player in the secondary. But when you watch him, I think he's played with an extra level of physicality this year. And I think that he's obviously he's getting his hands on footballs right now to the point that he's getting a couple turnovers in 3 weeks. I think it's huge.
Came into the season with 4 interceptions in his career. Got 2 already this year.
Let's get it.
All right.
Let's get it.
So y'all know.
We will stick with the NFL on the other side. A Hail Mary really kind of stole the headlines on the day. And National Tight End Day. The position comes up big. That's next when we go in the huddle on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
London will go in motion to the left. Snap to Cousins. Tampa brings 4. Kirk from the pocket. Loops for Pitts. Caught. 10-5. Touchdown Atlanta. There's a flag on the play. Kyle Pitts is in the end zone. And we'll see if it stands. And it will.
That was Wes Durham, Dave Archer on the call for your Falcons games right here on 92.9 The Game. And yesterday was National Tight Ends Day. So that was them on the call for Kyle Pitts, who had 4 catches, 91 yards, and 2 touchdowns in Atlanta's win over Tampa Bay. But it was a monster day for tight ends around the league. And you had George Kittle, 6 catches, 128 yards, and 1 touchdown as the 49ers came back to beat the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. Gosh, the list goes on here with even Kate Otten, the opposition. He had 9 catches, 81 yards, 2 touchdowns for the Buccaneers. I know you have a lot to say about him.
I like Kate Otten. I think he's got a traditional tight end, Mike, that is physical. And by the way,
ding.
I just wanted to make you say ding.
Okay.
Tiff, not to get off the Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts had a block in a screen that was less than ideal, but he did a really good job in pass pro at times yesterday where they put him one-on-one to pass block out on the edge, and I thought he did a really good job. Kyle Pitts has played more physical in the last 4 or 5 weeks than at any point in his career to me.
Yeah,
and look, I won't run through everybody's numbers, but yeah, Trey McBride with a big day, Travis Kelce a big day, Adam Trautman for the Broncos, like Tucker Kraft, Patriot. It's just Packers, excuse me. But if you had a tight end on your fantasy football team. Mm. Then congratulations to you.
Or you're like me and Bo. We played 2. Played Kate Otten and Travis Kelce. Shout out to us for running the score up on the opposition this week.
Guess what? I celebrated National Tight End Day with playing Kyle Pitts in my other league.
There you go. I think it's a good point you bring up about Kyle Pitts, too. They put him up to bat a number of times. You could tell that early in the game, they didn't want to leave Vita Vea one-on-one with any of the interior guys, Ryan Neuzel being one of those. So you saw some slide protection, and what that does is that puts a guy like Kyle Pitts and Bijan on a defensive end. I thought they stepped up to the plate, and I'm with you. I think he's playing a grittier brand of football. So shout out to him on National Tight Ends Day.
Also, David Njoku, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about him because the Browns, no Deshaun Watson, they come out, have the upset probably of the day, and they knock off the Ravens behind Jameis Winston as their starting quarterback.
So you're telling me that you can go play a division rival on the road, being a team that's pretty good, and lose when they're missing, you know, the guy that was the number one receiver start the year because they've traded him, and the starting quarterback? Huh, tell me more. I guess games aren't so easy to win in the division on the road in the NFL, huh?
Yeah, they're not. And the Ravens, to me, when you look at this effort, and we talked all week, right, about the stadium last week being flat, the team kind of having, you know, a flat attitude it felt like towards the game last week. I thought the Ravens looked kind of the same way. They looked less inspirited. We also All right, talk about rest deficit. Talked about with Tampa Bay in the buildup after that Monday Night Football game. The Ravens looked very much like a team coming off a rest deficit. And the Browns, look, man, they're gritty. Jameis Winston's going to get those guys, at least playing emotionally. There's no doubt about that, some of the speeches he gives. So you like the effort he put out there yesterday, 27-41, 334 yards, three TDs. Derrick Henry held under 100 rushing yards. So just not the result you expected out of that one, but it was a fun game.
Indeed it was. And then, of course, we had Sunday Night Football going on with Dallas and the 49ers, and San Francisco won that 30-24.
Yeah.
It's not looking good in Dallas. There's a lot of eruptions, too. I know if you saw that with Diggs and a reporter after the game. There's always a lot.
He dropped the D's on the reporter at the end. Diggs tweeted
during the game, and I guess Diggs was made aware of it after the game and decided to confront said reporter.
I wonder what the tweet. Does anybody know what the tweet said?
I tried to find it. I could not find it.
I thought maybe it was there was a couple questions about what he was doing as far as, how hard he was playing the weeks before. I don't know if it was during yesterday, but I did see a couple of the weeks leading up to that about, videos of him on the field where the play might be going away from him, him not giving max effort, things like that. So I can only imagine, but that's not a team that's in a good spot right now. I think that every football player in the NFL has probably been where Trayvon Diggs has been, where you're just so frustrated with everything, and then it gets piled on by a tweet or a video. But nonetheless, it's not a good look, man. Not a good look.
So I believe it's Mike Leslie that tweeted it, and it's the play where Kittle, run National Tight End Day, almost scores a touchdown, and Diggs, he's just kind of in the play, but he's not really making a real effort to get in on the tackle, and he's just kind of running with the play. And this Mike Leslie is the reporter out of Dallas, and he just says, "What is Trayvon Diggs doing on this play?"
Oh, that was. I thought he had tried to dissect it more because when Diggs was jawing off back at him, he was basically saying, "You don't know anything about the game of football." So, but I didn't know that that's all the tweet said.
That's all that I have seen. Now, this guy tweets a lot during the game.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I can see that he says is, "What is Trayvon Diggs doing on this play?"
Well, clearly emotions are running high in Dallas. Let's just get a check then. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, players don't like it when you question their effort. And that's probably where it really rubbed him.
Yep.
And that's why you have to be careful when you're in the media. If you're questioning someone's effort, you might want to go in that locker room and show up so you can face the music, because that is, to me, that is one of those deals where guys that cover teams from afar but never walk in the locker room and want to challenge from afar guys' efforts, that's really easy to do when you're not in the locker room. So I give Mike Leslie credit for actually being there.
Well, and here's what else I'll say. Trayvon Diggs is a guy who, torn ACL a year ago. And that's one of those things that's got to be frustrating for him. I hate the thought that he's making business decisions, but there are times. Look, it's like a quarterback sliding sometimes. I'm not saying that that's the conversation that's been had, but sometimes it's like, dude, be choosy about what you're doing out on the field. And it sounds like that's kind of what he is. I haven't seen the play you're talking about or the tweet, and I'll have to go back and look at it. But I'm sure that there's a little bit of that in the back of his mind.
Before we move on to Anthony Richardson and the Colts, just a quick check on the NFC South with the Saints taking on the Chargers. That was a rout. Chargers win 26-8, and then Carolina falls to Denver 28-14.
Might be getting to that Saints score in Man Up Monday. Yeah. That was not a good look for me. I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
That was a bad one.
Well, I don't know why you would ever put any faith in those people.
I'm manning up. That's what I'm doing right now.
I can't wait to get the man up on that.
Yeah, well, 30 minutes from now.
I normally enjoy the Panthers losing and the Saints losing. I enjoyed the Saints. Didn't enjoy the Panthers because, Sean Payton was involved on the other side.
Okay.
Plus, we got to play. Hey, look. We got to play them.
J.C.
Yes,
Horn.
I know, but let me get
into
this next thing with the Colts. J.C. Horn felt the same way you did. Houston beats Indianapolis 23-20, and Anthony Richardson, things got interesting. He had to check himself out of the game.
Wow.
And here's why.
Man, tired. I ain't gonna lie. That was a lot of running right there that I did, and I don't think I was gonna be able to go that next play. So this whole thing, I just needed a break right there.
I've never heard a quarterback
need a
ever.
Break.
I've never seen Lamar Jackson or Michael Vick, and I'm talking about guys that run a lot in plays, say, hey, you know what?
Man, tired.
I'm going to need a breather.
It's compounded by the fact
and that's that why
he's 10 of 32. 10 of 32.
Well, they almost won the game.
Oh, my goodness,
they almost won the game. What is Houston doing where they almost won the game?
My question is, what does that say about your culture, your locker room culture, when your starting quarterback checks himself out? Can you imagine? Do we have video of the look on the head coach's face when he comes to the sideline and said, need a breather? I mean, like, I've coached at a high school level and have heard that, but never imagined in a million years you might heard that from somebody in the NFL, man. That's crazy. But you're right. They almost won the game yesterday doing some of the crazy things that they were doing offensively. So who knows?
I mean, can you imagine back in the day? Like, can you imagine if let's just go back to Chicago in 1985, if Jim McMahon, who could move around a little bit, not a lot, but just a little bit earlier in his career, ran like sideline to sideline on a play, and then looked at Mike Ditka and was like, "Hey, I need a breather.
Tap the helmet.
I had about twelve butt heavies last night. I need a breather."
The closest I ever saw to that in a Falcons uniform, and God bless him, Michael Turner had like six runs in a row, and the last one was like a 40-yarder, and he gets taken out of bounds down inside the red zone, and you could tell he kind of sat on his butt and set up with his legs kind of in a V formation, and kind of just sat there for a second, put his hands on his hips, and I think they ended up putting Jason Snelling in, because everybody's looking at him going, this dude is spent now.
You remember, so we were on the plane. I know this is way off topic. We got to go to break. We were on the plane, and we were watching one of the college games. And they did the little shovel pad, the interior shovel pass.
Yeah.
And one of our team docs goes, "Hey, that's a Jason Snelling play."
Jason Snelling.
I did like the head because they were like over to my left. I was like, heard that name in forever.
Such a good play.
I miss that play too.
Oh, man.
You think
so
we can
good.
Mix that in with Algier?
Don't even get me started. It would require a pulling guard. So, no.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
Monday Night Football tonight is the Giants and the Steelers. We did not forget about a really big play that went down in the NFL yesterday. And, yes, we're talking about a Hail Mary. That is still to come, as well as Atlanta United. But we do have a Mic'd Up.
Yeah, we're going to get to that Jaden Daniels Hail Mary in Mic'd Up. Be fun to talk about, man. We'll relive all the madness that was that play yesterday. Coming up on the other side of Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. We are back here on the morning shift. Dylan. I can't with you.
I don't even know what to say.
I don't even know what to say to you right now.
Why am I the only one that's out?
I had to.
What is this?
It's just a funny song. This is the artist Sexy Red, and this is her song with Drake.
No.
She's a rapper. She's one of the up and coming female rappers.
She's a rapper.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the intro to this song is just funny.
I'm not going to say my favorite song is of hers, so I'm just going to keep it moving.
Now I have a guess, but I'll let you live.
You'll let me live another day. Okay. On to Atlanta United, you guys. Were you guys enthralled by this matchup over the weekend?
Well, I hate the way it ended. I mean, it's so they don't make it easy for these wild card, so to speak, teams, you know, teams that play, what is it? Is it 8-9 or 7-8? 7-8, right? And then, you know, you play on Saturday of decision day. Then Atlanta has a fly to Montreal.
Then
come back home. Then turn around and fly again to Miami and play the, you know, only the one seed. And so just to make that game, to me, to be in that game the entire time like they were was a feat in itself.
Yeah, I had a lot of pride in the way Atlanta United played. Actually, Mike Conte tweeted about this after the game. Atlanta United, 7-day stretch. They flew over 4,200 miles and played three road matches, all of which went down to the final minute, which if you've watched all these, you know, do-or-die games, I mean, how exhausted these guys are at the end of it. And then, obviously, to go on the road and play a team like Miami, who is the best team in MLS. And, look, it's frustrating to watch. They score in the second minute, and you're like, oh, here we go. Luis Suarez scores in the second minute. You're like, here we go. Brad Guzan, friend of the show, Brad Guzan, continues to play exceptionally well. Actually, Ed Messi at one point kind of one-on-one gets a nice, nice takeaway there. And it just, look, you're going to look at all the numbers and you're going to see that Atlanta United in a lot of ways probably shouldn't have been in this game, but they were. And I think it goes back to how gritty they played. They had a couple guys go down with injury, and a lot of guys step up to the plate. Saba continues to create chances for himself. He's been one of the better additions to Atlanta United in a long time. And say what you want about this team. A lot of different faces than were here 3 or 4 months ago. But, man, they play hard. And they're fun to root for at this point. So you'll be pulling for them big time next Saturday night for sure.
So they lose 2-1 in this matchup. But, again, this is a best out of three series. So they will come back here to Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
And you get it. You get an 8 days of rest.
I think Mike can get me some tickets to that. I mean,
I don't know why you need to go to Mike. You could look at me, maybe ask me. You know, I can know some people, too.
Oh, you got as much pull for United as Mike does?
I don't have as much, but I do know some people. I know some people in the building. You know, I'm not.
Okay.
November 2nd, so you don't have much time to work with.
4 days.
So.
Yeah. 4 days.
Is that enough?
It's a pretty big ask.
Yeah, my Halloween present. Me and the wife.
Halloween present.
Yeah, Halloween present. My kids think they get a Halloween present.
Hell, that's your Christmas birthday for the next 3 years if I get you tickets to that game.
Hey, I got a present for you. Let's go, Mike. And what a day it was yesterday in the NFL. Obviously, three of us glued to the Atlanta Falcons' massive victory, command of the NFC South at this point, and a lot of fun to watch yesterday. But one of the other games that was going on was this culmination of last year's draft, a coronation, if you will, of maybe who the best rookie quarterback is. You saw Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels face off. Caleb Williams, not great, but neither was Jaden Daniels for the most part. All right, a couple good runs, had the rib injury, was questionable all week, gives it a go, actually gets hit a couple of times in that flak jacket that he was wearing yesterday, showed grittiness. All right, comes down to the end, and this is what it sounded like.
Comes down to one last play, and it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line, and the ball is caught! Caught! It's a miracle! It's Noah Brown! Oh, my goodness! This town is going crazy! It's a madhouse in Landover, Maryland.
He did it.
Woo! God, you got to love NFL football. You got to love Jaden Daniels running around in the backfield, uncorking about a 60-yarder through the air. You also got, I don't know if you guys saw this, you got, is it Tyreek Stevenson, the DB for Chicago, who is talking crap to the fans.
The ball is
being snapped. And
you know what the craziest part about that, though, is? He's the only guy that put a hand on the ball for Chicago.
I know, but then it gets tipped. But he did tweet out an apology, taking ownership of it.
I've
but
got it right
my
here.
My issue wasn't just with that, but also with your line. They stopped chasing after Daniels, too. And I know he is extending the play. You're probably a little bit gassed, but I saw two dudes trotting up there when you probably should have been maybe bringing the heat a little bit more in that situation. You can't think the game's over when it's not actually over.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. But hell of a throw the ball 65 yards in the air.
With the rib injury.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that is tough. That is toughness.
Tyreek Stevenson tweets, to Chicago and my teammates, my apologies for lack of awareness and focus. The game ain't over until zeros hit the clock. Can't take anything for granted. Notes taken. Improvement will happen. Hashtag bear down. And he is getting shredded.
That is going to be one of those plays that, well, it's going to be an awful probably week for him in the meeting room. But then not only that, that's something like I could see a youth football coach showing their players, a college coach.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Showing their players. It's a bad way to be made an example of.
Keith Armstrong was always so good at that. He had a good, bad, and the ugly from the week before, and he would always special team situations, but every now and then.
What position you play? Yeah. No, Julio Jones play wide receiver.
You play L3. Sit your butt down. You play L3. Love that guy. You got to look at the numbers. Caleb Williams, 10 of 24. Now, they're not Anthony Richardson bad, but not great. 131 yards passing. 10 of 24. Jaden Daniels, 21 of 38 for 326 yards passing, also running around for 52 yards rushing. I've said this before on the show, and we've talked back and forth about Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams and Rookie of the Year and everything else. I still feel like Caleb Williams, up until yesterday, had been getting better every week. Now, obviously, you take a step back. Commander's a good defense. Obviously, we know Dan Quinn does a good job defensively. But right now, it does feel like that Jaden Daniels, as far as winning Rookie of the Year honors, is kind of running away with that at the quarterback position. So hats off to Jaden Daniels, and what an enjoyable game yesterday, man. Love to see it.
I know both franchises have been bad for quite some time, but I feel like the one in D.C.'s had the worst end of it.
You're
I'm
right.
not saying you have to factor that into making someone Rookie of the Year, but if you look at the turnaround that they've had, season's not over yet.
I think you're so
I would
so right.
Probably lean towards Daniels.
Remember, Chicago's made the playoffs three or four times in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Washington, I think, made it. The last time they made it was
just two. No, they were close to making
no, they,
it.
I think
no,
they,
it was
I think
two
they made
ago.
It Eberflus's first year or right, the year before he got there.
You're talking about D.C.?
No, I'm talking about Chicago.
Oh, Chicago. Okay.
And Washington's been out for a while. Give Dan Quinn some credit, too, for the culture change. Now,
big
ownership
time.
Has something to do with that. The new ownership group has a lot to do with that. Don't get me wrong. But they brought Dan Quinn in as their guy to change the culture in that locker room.
And that's what he does.
And he is done. By the way, Mike, two tickets?
Ding.
Two tickets?
Yeah, two.
You're
yeah.
done.
My man.
I got one of the top dogs has already hit me
Yo!
Up in the organization.
Whoever the top dog is, you're my man.
Look at Big Tom showing off the pole.
I'd like to give me credit because I talked trash
Tim
to him. And I think it sparked.
Put it in the gear.
It sparked that person to reach out.
Shout out to my guy, whoever the top dog is.
You're welcome.
Let's go see.
That's what I do.
Vamos. Vamos ATL. Vamos.
I can't take much credit.
Let's go. Let's go. My guy.
Will you be gloating in the next segment? That's the big question.
I've got one to gloat about.
Woo!
So that's all that matters.
I got one great one and one that I would love to delete forever.
I'm going
to
go ahead and give you the teaser. I didn't lose anybody any money. If they went with all my picks.
All right, man.
Which means
up
you didn't make any either.
Is next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.